welcome back to the Low Sodium Show. It is Wednesday, July 10th, 2013, and welcome. Today's, I am your host, Mark Lady Wheeler. It helps if I remember what I'm doing. I mean, you know, it's not like I haven't done this for the past 3 years. But yeah, welcome, folks. We're going to have a great show. Let me bring in my co-host of the night, my slash producer. Producer slash co-host, Matt Gackchum Trucks. What's going on, man?
Hey, good evening, Mark. Not much, man. Just being your trusty co-host over here.
Nice. But, folks, tonight's show is going to be on risk. When to go, when not to go, things you need to know about weather, terminology, stuff like that. Things that most people get confused or don't know about that, you know, if you knew or you could see it, you know, you can read it or see things in the future can help you be safer out there on the water. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some fishing and things that have going on with me. And Matt's going to talk about his escapades this past weekend. We're also going to have the pig of the week, along with some musical interlude. Yes, folks, we've got a couple of songs on here now, so we're going to do some music. It'll always be fun. You know, some good old... for some difference, okay? Just like always, after this little segment, we always go ahead and give props to those that prop us. And for that, we'll be right back with more of Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
All right, folks, we're back with more of the Low Sodium Show. I'm your host, Mark Lenny Kuhwheeler, joined by my co-host, Matt Yachum Trucks. The tonight's show is about risk. And there was a great article post on yakangler.com. If you don't know about Yak Angler, where'd it go? You need to definitely check out.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Check them out. They have some great stuff, a lot of great articles, and a really good forum with a lot of great questions. Okay, one was about risk assessment, stuff like that. And, what do you tell, what do you look for, things like that. Let's start off with this, okay? You need to find your comfort zone, okay? You need to have that comfort zone. You know, if you look at the water or you look at the weather and you don't get it warm and fuzzy, okay, then most likely you shouldn't go out, okay? I'm telling y'all, folks, if you're not, you know, Rob Choi, Kayak Kevin, you know, Jim Sammons, you know, guys like that who deal with, you know, kayaking day in and day out like that, you know, you definitely need to, you know, check yourself and your pride is the biggest thing I can tell you. Now, Matt, let me bring you in here for a second there, buddy. And I know you're back in the, you know, playing with the buttons and stuff like that. But, go ahead and break down your weekend and, what you look for in your risk assessment of when you should go, when not to go. But again, first start off, you know, tell us about your weekend, bud.
Oh, well, my weekend was a good one. Got out fishing on, actually, just Monday. On vacation, so enjoyed the 4th with the family. And,
nice.
Yeah, man. The only thing that was rough about the enjoying the 4th with the family was tried to go out fishing on Saturday, 6 miles offshore, and all of a sudden the fuel pump dies on a single screw inboard. Yeah, so
that's a lot of
3 hour tow later, and the problem's still not fixed, so that kind of stunk. But I got out on the kayak back up here in Jersey on Monday. It's a good day, but every time before I even go out, the night before, I check the weather and check all the forecasts, wind forecast, precipitation forecast, and then I actually do the same thing before I even leave the house. Because this time of year, you got to watch out for thunderstorms, and that's, yeah, you're just a floating lightning rod out there.
Right. Now, before you keep on going, what weather sites do you use?
I typically, for wind, I've been using fishweather.com, and for precipitation forecasts and weather forecasts, I use wonderground.com.
Right.
And then I also check the marine forecasts on the on NOAA.gov. You can put your specific region and area in there, and it'll give you the marine forecast.
Right. Yeah, you know, I do the same thing. I use NOAA just for a basis, you know, just as a base of knowledge. And I look that up. Fish weather I use all the time. For those that have a smartphone, I highly recommend paying a few bucks and getting Marine Weather Pro by Bluefin. It is an absolutely awesome app to have. It really is a great setup. Along with Scoutlook for all of you freshwater bubbas. You know, it helps with your winds, your drifts. It also will help you log in your catches, which is huge. Keeping a log is a very big thing. So, yeah, break down Monday's fishing, bud. You know, what'd you use, what'd you catch, stuff like that?
I went fishing for a fluke, which is summer flounder. We call them fluke. And actually fished inside the Manasquan River, which is a saltwater body of water that ends up in the ocean.
Right.
It's actually the Manasquan Inlet and the river portion of it I was fishing. I wasn't inside the inlet itself. Pretty close to it, though. Close enough where
right. The
tide really rips through there. So it's a very dangerous place to fish on the weekend, so I took the opportunity, since it was a Monday, you have less boat traffic and you're able to actually get in there and fish without all the wakes and trying to manage the tide and staying out of the channel at the same time. So but yeah, typically for fluke fishing up here, I use like a bucktail jig at the bottom of my 20 to 30 pound leader. And then I use a dropper loop with a teaser hook. And bait, what I'll use, it depends if I'm up too early for the bait stores to be open. I'll just use gulp swimming mullet, either the 6-inch down to the 3-inch, depending on the size of the fish that you're catching all the time, you know. And also, I put the gulp on both hooks. I'll put it on the jig itself and on the teaser, and what happens is that the teaser will go by, and the fluke being an ambush predator, where he's going to hide in the sand or in some structure, he's going to see that teaser go by, and either he's going to grab on that, or if he misses it, you know, hopefully he'll see the jig come by right after that, and he'll nab on that.
Right. Actually, there's a great video online on YouTube. And the guy getting some underwater footage of him using a bucktail, you know, the top-down setup for a fluke or flounder, wherever part of the country you're in. And the fluke weren't necessarily, you know, it wasn't like he was going over top of them. They were coming up out of the stand to get them. these fish were actually coming from a distance and actually hitting the bait, you know, actually traveling to hit the bait. It was very, very, very cool and really opened my eyes a little bit to how aggressive those fish truly are.
Yeah, and also that goes with water temperature, too. Early in the morning, the tide was coming in from the ocean. And with all this south wind we've been having here on the East Coast, south, southwest, southeast, it's been pushing in all the colder water up north here. In the morning, around 6 o'clock in the morning, water started out at 58 degrees at the top of the water, that is. That's where my transducer reads. And by 2 o'clock noon, with the tide going out, it was up to almost 78 degrees. And the fish were much more aggressive when that water warmed up.
Yeah. I'm feeling your pain, bud.
That's a big swing.
I mean,
it's never been like that, but
it's
that's
just
a little different.
It's an insane year. We leave out of the inlet in the morning, and it's literally, you know, 68 down to 64, and you get out 2 or 3 miles, and you back up to 74. It's crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe the water is still going down to the high 50s. It's incredible. But it's because of the wind pushing all that cold water up from the depths, if you want to call it that.
Let's see here. So how'd you do? Did you catch any?
Yes. Definitely was a small fish weekend. I think I was catching this year's spawn most of the day. Keeper fish in New Jersey is 17.5 inches. Most of the fish I was catching were between 7 and 8 inches, all up to 17 most of the day. So I ended up with one nice fish that I took home for dinner, and it was a 19.5 inch fatty, a nice one.
Yeah, that's a nice fish there, buddy.
Yeah, not bad. Couldn't complain. It was at the end of the day. I was like, perfect timing.
Way to knock it out.
A lot of that. A lot of trash fish, like sea robins. But don't throw those sea robins back, because they're actually good eating.
They're very good eating.
If they're over 12 or 13 inches, I'll keep them and I'll fillet them up, because you get a nice fillet off the bigger fish.
Yeah, no bones. Really, really tender.
Yeah, very white meat. It's excellent. It's better than fluke.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have ever thought that? But
Yeah, it's one of those trash fish that everybody throws back. Half the people, I think they're poisonous.
Gotta love that.
If you ever seen a sea robin, it looks like the mouth kind of like almost like a bass. But then it's got these horns coming out of its head, and it's got wings. It's like pectoral fins. And it looks like a bird. A bird with a tail and a big old head.
Yeah, they're goofy-looking suckers.
But, yeah, they're excellent eating. They're tough to fillet, but the bigger ones are very, very good eating.
Yeah, I love them. I love them to death.
So I caught a bunch of those, and that was about it. I mean, it's a nice long day out fishing an inlet, pretty much. The river port of the inlet probably paddled over 20 miles with how the tide runs there.
Yeah.
At least it felt like it.
Yeah, it's just amazing when you finally look at – I used to take a GPS and, you know, see how far I really paddled, and then I would guess before I looked at the final number. Yeah, you know, I'd be like, yeah, you know, almost probably maybe 15, 16 miles. I look at it, like, 6. It's like, really?
You know it's bad when the Hobie pedal pals are hurting and tired.
Very true, very, very true. But, folks, we've got something special coming up here in October. If you don't know what it is, maybe you should...
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle is just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
That's right, folks. The boondoggle's coming up October 11th through the 14th. Down in Perdido Key. It's going to be an absolute great time. And, of course, go to yakangler.com for more information. And, folks, we'll be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Well, with a quick break and a musical interlude from Kayak Girl, right after these words from one of my personal sponsors.
Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted, designed, built by fishermen for fishermen. Each plank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip. Made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications, Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
She was 21, looking fine. She had a lot of this heart of mine. She told me her name, and I told her mine. She said it was up. We think it's about time, so we're jumping our boat. Paddled away. I thought this would be another laser day. Thought it was time for me to take a dip. So she checked me with a paddle, and I went flip. Paddle hard and paddle fast. Problematic paddle or paddle pass. Pardon while she rocks my boat. I'm just trying to stay afloat. Hard to paddle fast, problematic paddle, paddle fast. Pardon while she rocks my world. Forever she will be my kayak girl. Couple hours later after we say goodbye, she calls me on the phone and says, hey, kayak guy. My knees started shaking, the water starts to swirl. I think I fell in love with my kayak girl. Paddle hard or paddle fast, problematic paddle or paddle pass. Pardon while she rocks my boat, I'm just trying to stay afloat. Paddle hard or paddle fast, problematic paddle or paddle pass. Pardon while she rocks my world.
Yeah, it is a great song. And welcome back, folks, to more of the Sodium Show. I'm your host, Mark Lennon Kuwila. And yes, we're doing a couple little different. And I really like how I've got this new setup going. It really breaks up the show a little bit more for me and for Matt. This way we can game plan while things are going on. Anyway, welcome back. We're talking about risks. And I know people go from boating to kayaking, and they don't bring over the same, best way to put it, risk assessment, or they use the wrong risk assessment steps. And, we're going to talk about that real fast. Mainly the how to interpret, okay, a forecast. Let's start off with that first. And I'm actually going to pull up my local forecast. This is via NOAA, okay? So if you want to, you can click on the Virginia Beach area. All right? And if you look at the Virginia Beach area, there's a mouth to the Chesapeake Bay. Okay, we're going to click on that little area just to the right of the mouth, right next to where it says Norfolk, Virginia Beach. And you're going to get this thing called the Marine Zone Forecast. Okay, it's going to give you a lot of stuff that you might probably won't know. Hey, what's going on, Tommy? I can't type right now. But the synopsis basically states this. A weak trough of low pressure over the Mid-Atlantic states tonight. A cold front will push into the area from the northwest on Thursday and stall along or just off the coast Friday into the coming weekend. Y'all don't even know I need to understand that, okay? That's for those of us that go way offshore kind of thing, okay? But for tonight, southwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 to 4 feet with a dominant period of 10 seconds. Okay, let's break that down. Okay, depending
you
on your
area.
You
gotta do it in the NOAA VHF voice, though.
Southwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 to 4 feet with a dominant period of 10 seconds. Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you.
So, for my area, I know that a southwest wind off the beach has got about a mile and a half to 2 miles before things get real nasty, okay, depending on the direction. 15 knots, we're talking about 18 miles an hour of wind. Okay, that's a pretty significant amount. It's going to blow you around a lot, all right? See, 3 to 4 feet, okay, that's from flat calm, okay? It's going to be an average of 3 to 4 foot swell, all right, with a dominant period of 10 seconds, meaning that you'll get the largest waves. You'll get the largest waves in every 10-second period, okay? Which makes, at a 10 seconds, that makes things nice-ish, okay? Now, that does not mean that you're going to get, you know, 1 or 2 footers. You have a dominant period of 3 to 4 footers every 10 seconds. I hope that helps everybody, okay, on the marine side. And then scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening with a slight chance of showers. Okay. I just let you know that you might get rained on, okay? Now, let's get to a crazy one here. Let's say you wanted to fish on Sunday, okay, and you saw that the southeast winds 10 to 15 knots, these 2 feet, okay? That's a few days from now. That changes everything. A southeast wind on our coast, on the east coast, is going to bring things up, okay, unless you live on the Outer Banks north of Oregon Inlet, okay, north of Hatteras. You know, if you live in South Carolina or, you know, Hatteras, southeast wind is going to blow right in your face, okay? If you are going fishing in the bay along the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel out on the Virginia Beach side, you can have pretty water, okay? If you go over to Gifted Peak, it's going to be rocking and rolling. And that's where you need to realize where you're at, okay?
Yes, because as kayakers,
really,
we like shelter.
Yes.
Shelter from anything,
yes,
over 15 knots is always something to look for.
Yes. Now, on the freshwater side, this stuff is really important, okay? And if you go, why is the wind so important? Because that's where you figure out where the wind's blowing. You can guesstimate, especially on your large lakes, Seminole, Lake Fork, Falcon, the Great Lakes, anything with a large lake body, okay, where there are several areas you can launch from around the lake, you can save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of time by going, okay, let's call this Lake Rectangle, okay? We'll call it Lake Rec. Lake Rec is a rectangle. It's 20 miles long and 5 miles wide. Okay? So so it's longer than it is wide, okay? Now, if north, south, east, west, okay? If there is a easterly breeze, meaning the wind's blowing out of the east, I'm going to really want to focus my attention on the western side. That's where all of the bait fish, stuff like that, are going to be pushed up against the banks and stuff like that, where I can focus my attention. Now, with that being said, okay, if you, because it's going across the longest part of the lake, okay, you will get a larger swell, okay? And it could get really choppy, get really hard or deficient. And that's where experience really comes in handy, where you have to realize, okay, if that lake gets really choppy and it always seems to turn over and get really muddy on the windward side, meaning the side that gets the most wind, or where the wind is basically blowing everything up against, okay, but on the leeward side, where the wind is coming across the ground and then finally getting the lake, that would be in the east lake, because it's blowing from east to west, and then the water's clear, water's a little warmer, okay, because it's not turning over, stuff like that. This is where you need to spend some time on that lake and find that out, and you know, take your time, right? You know, little things like that, you need to, you know, it really would helps you to make better informed decisions and where you should launch. Because on each corner of Wreck Lake, there are boat ramps or places where you can drag your kayak and launch from, okay? So, you know, these are all things that you need to keep in mind when it's getting out there. Now, wind is not the only other thing you need to worry about, okay? There are two more factors, okay? Precipitation, heat, and humidity, okay? These two roll hand in hand, okay? It is very, very important. Very important that you realize what your heat index is. And most people overlook something like a heat index. The heat index is what the heat, how hot it is, what it feels like out there, okay? If it's 91 degrees out there, but the heat index is saying 110, all right, that means you're talking about some hot weather. It feels like it's 110 degrees out. And then you look over and you see the you see the humidity is like 98%, all right, and no cloud cover, you definitely want to start thinking about maybe staying home and staying in the AC, because that is dangerous hot, okay? The only people that are out there fishing are the ones that need to make a living. And even still, they don't even want to be out there, all right? Sorry, I saw something in the chat room that I liked. I really like what I just saw in the chat room. That's awesome, buddy. Those are all things you need to understand. There are some really good websites out there that break down little things like that. You know, what everything means, how you can interpret it, and make correct risk assessments on what's going on. Little things like that really help, understanding what you're going against. Now, for those that have fished the salt water, and I'm this is low sodium. You need a little sodium in your diet, otherwise you're going to have issues, okay? With that being said, if you're fishing a body of water, okay, and you have tide or current going against wind, it doesn't matter if it only says 1 or 2 footers or calm. You're going to have some rocking and rolling little waves, okay? Because you have water moving against wind, it's going to start making it curl and build up on you, okay? It will really make it, it'll
it'll really make you, you know, think that, you know, the weatherman's really lost his mind. But in all actuality, it's just the conditions of wind and current pushing against each other, making everything stack up real heavy. Now,
so, hey, Mark,
side,
what do you do if you get stuck out there in a lightning storm?
Actually, what this is what I always get stuck at least once a year out in a lightning storm, during a lightning storm. Be honest with you, I take all my rods, and because I do paddle a Jackson Cuda or a Jackson boat with all the storage options and anchoring points, I take all the rods down. That's the biggest thing. Flag, I don't need it. Rods, I don't need it. Okay? I bust out my signaling device because it is low. 9 times out of 10, when you have, you're in a thunder lightning storm, it's raining, it's very low visibility. I turn on a light. I turn on my headlamp because I've always got a hand lamp on me. Okay? I turn that on. I start giving my, you know, let's see here. Let's get a look. I think it's 2 whistle blows every, every 2 minutes, 2 for 2. But I start blowing my whistle
for
just letting everyone know where I'm at. No, not an SOS, but I'll just to let everyone know where I'm at. Time. 5 is a distress signal or danger. 5 is a danger. 5 rapid blasts is a danger. I know that much. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I start doing that. Let's see here. Sounds like...
I've often wondered if it would be a good idea just to leave, like, one rod up so the lightning will hit that instead of me.
Yeah, I still don't want to chance it, you know what I mean? but yeah, you know, having that...
That's why it's all about planning. You don't want to get stuck out there in a thunder lightning storm.
Yeah, but you know what? You have those, those moments where you're fishing out there and you get one of those popcorn thunderstorms. You know, especially the ones down south that are, you know, so well able to get your, you know, just actually tear you up.
Yeah.
That's the restricted ability remover. That's right. Sorry. God darn it. Bugger all. What was I saying? Yeah,
you're on popcorn thunderstorm like down south.
Yeah, it's little popcorn storms. You know, you could be 5 miles from the nearest, you know, area you can get out at. Thunder and lightning will bring you closer to God. Very true, very true. But it's one long blast every 2 minutes, okay, that I'll just hammer out there on my whistle. Just let them know, hey, I'm here, you know, and just be a heads up. I can't see you. You probably can't see me, kind of thing. And I'll anchor up if I can, unless it's really windy and really nasty. Then I just turn my bow toward the way the wind's blowing, and I'll just paddle into it. Okay, if I'm losing ground, that's fine. But as long as I'm paddling into it, and I'm keeping, you know, a good tack on that, then I'm doing right, okay? Most of those storms don't last more than 15 minutes. And you cannot paddle 15 minutes at a steady pace in heavy wind. You really, really, really need to, you know, work on your endurance a little bit. And it just takes some time. I'm not, you know, knocking anyone. It just takes a little bit of time, a little more practice. You know, get out there and do some fishing and have some fun, and you could really be surprised what can happen. But yeah, definitely do all that. That's what I do.
once it passes by, then I'll take care of it. Yeah, if you knew about it, you know, just pick your days when you don't, when it shows that there won't be any thunderstorms on your thing, especially in the summertime. In the fall, go ahead. It's spring, tear it up. Just be very careful. That's the biggest thing, is just, you know your limitations kind of thing. But, of course, we need to take a quick commercial break. When we come right back, we'll have more of the, you know, risk assessment, how to judge things, and how to take care of things that just might come your way. Yeah, we'll be right back with more Low Sodium Show only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network.
Give me the flat to dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got him! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
You heard me talk about Tommy Head Jigs and everything that goes along with them, and they truly will help you become a better angler, and that is not my personal opinion, but that is an actual fact. The reason for that is they are so versatile. Tying on one jig, tying on one system, and being able to fish it 60 different ways, from shaky heads to swim baits, to throwing a fluke, to throwing a minnow underneath a popping cork. You name it, you can do it on a Tommy Head Jig. So for more information, check out TommyHeadJigs.com or go to your local tackle shop and demand they start carrying Tommy Head Jigs. American made for Americans. All right, we're back with more of the Low Sodium Show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. I am your host, Mark Lennon Kuhwheeler. My co-host slash producer, Matt Yakchum Trucks. Drop the ball.
Yeah, I'm still here. I was going to do the Jackson commercial, but that's all right. I'll save it for later.
Yeah, we'll do it in the next break.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about what I've been up to lately. For those that don't know, I'm a mate, first mate, on a charter boat out of Rudy Inlet. It's a 42-foot Jersey sport fisher, okay? And this all fits to the, going, why do I need to know this? Because this all fits in that risk assessment sort of thing. And I got to thank my captain Chris. He's an awesome dude. Oh, shut up. But he allows me to put my input in on certain things. And this is actually this is what we did today. It's a 42 sport fisher. We know we can take heavy seas. We've done it. Okay, what do you mean by heavy? In the kayak world, 2 to 3 footers is heavy. Okay? On that boat, 2 to 3 footers is a calm day. All right? Rough days, 6 to 10. Really bad, 10 plus footers. And again, it all comes down to that dominant period. If you could be in 30 foot seas, but if you had a dominant period of 60 seconds, it's just like being on a big roller coaster, okay? No issues. But anyway, we got some nasty wind coming in, okay? It was starting to stack up today on us, to a point where it was just barely uncomfortable. So what we did was Chris talked to me, we looked at, five or six different, weather reports, weather maps, stuff like that. And we made the decision that tomorrow's trip, or he made the final decision. I put my input in and said, yeah, it kind of sounds like it would be a pretty cruddy day. But he made the decision that to move an offshore trip the next day, where the winds were supposed to die down tomorrow night, be nice by the morning, and be nice all day. We're talking 5 to 10 to 15 knot winds. Really nice out, great for going offshore, great to go put some smack down on the wahoo, tuna, mahi-mahi. Saw our first blue marlin this year. It was absolutely awesome. Came right behind the left long rigger, and he wasn't lit up or anything, just kind of checking it out. Then slid across to our bird, which is a skipping bait, and, you know, he checked out the bird for a second. And he dove down and out of the way and my knees were shaking. The captain was losing his mind. It was great. It was absolutely awesome. That's the kind of fishing that I'm doing right now, along with some bass fishing. Trust me, there's a little pond two blocks down from the inlet that I hit every so often when I, you know, get off early. You know, I've got to be able to throw a jig every so often. I've got to catch some green, some mossy bags. And to be truly honest, I haven't really reeled in a fish in weeks, which is very out of sync with myself. But I really enjoy seeing people catch fish. It truly is what makes me happy. And my computer just crashed. Oh, gosh darn it. All right. So, but yeah. Excuse me. What are these sheep for?
His computer crashed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's sleeping now.
I was looking for something. Oh, here you go.
I need to wake up.
I didn't mean to hit it twice. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. You know, in use of the weather, folks, it's not, you know, everyone's limited when you're talking about the water and Mother Nature. She does, the ocean, lakes, water, and Mother Nature does not care who you think you are or how bad you think you are. It will humble you quick, okay? And the last thing you want to be is humbled by her, okay? Have respect for it. Enjoy it. You should have no issues, okay? All right. Now, with that, all that being said, Maddie, I need you to hit a little piggly wiggly button for me, buddy. Would you please?
Yes, sir. I could do that.
Oh, yeah. Squeal like a baby. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for your pig of the week. Yeah. Love it. Man, I love that one, man. But the pig of the week goes to Matt, because he's the only one who sent me anything this week. On a 19 or 17-inch sea robin, in all of its sea robin glory, as the pig. But
hey, that's a big sea robin for up here, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet. But I have a lost pig of the week story for everybody. Well, find me some sad music. I need some sad music for this. Nothing yet?
No.
But on Sunday, folks, we were offshore. And, you know, we got spread out and we're trolling. And to give you an idea, we run 50 wides as just our main trolling setup. And then we run a 70 wide with one bait. Then we run an 80 wide, which is a big reel. I mean, we're talking like 25 pounds with just reel, okay, and line and stuff.
That's one of those bent rod setups, right?
No, we actually use a stand-up, so it's a straight butt.
Ah, okay.
But we run that way back. We call it the WFB. The WBB, way back B. Okay, so the way back B, which was a horse ballyhoo on a Islander, blue and white Islander. We got that bait out there. I mean, it wasn't 2 minutes. We put that bait was in the water. That 80... Yep, that's it right there. That 80 is doubled over. It is screaming drag. We're thinking it's a big blue marlin, a big bluefin tuna, a big eye, you know, something with some shoulders to it. You know what I mean?
Something
so
big in it.
I hit the rod. What's that?
Something with big in it.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. When we're talking big, especially to scream offline as fast as it was going. But yeah, we're, you know, we get the ride to the angler and they start fighting it. I start clearing lines and getting, you know, things ready to you know, battle with this behemoth or whatever it might be. And it seemed deep. So the first thing we thought was bluefin. And then we thought, big eye. Because if it was a blue marlin, it'd already be up on the surface dancing. But it didn't dance. And this thing's digging. It is screaming. It is digging. It is screaming. The angler's crying. I'm crying because I'm so happy that we have a big fish on. I mean, it's just good, good stuff. Now, we're looking in the water. We're waiting. We're looking. And we start to see color. And it is some color. It's big. It's long. It's not a bluefin. It must be a blue marlin. It has to be a blue marlin. We're looking at it again. And my captain above me goes, holy cow, it's a wahoo. It's a huge wahoo. And we're not talking, oh yeah, we're not talking, you know, tiny hoos here. Not little, you know, Cindy Lou Who. We're talking Nimitz class sub. You know, this thing was over 8 feet long. A wahoo, Ginsu teeth faced anger. Okay. Just, oh, this thing was huge. So anyway, grab the leader, start leadering this thing up. It's underneath the boat. It's fighting me. And I'm a pretty strong dude. And when I started to lift this thing up, and it just shook its head and nearly dislocated my shoulder. Yeah, it's a big bastard, okay? So, we get it close enough that all I need to do is just raise it up about another, you know, about an arm's length before I can stick my gaff in it. When the wily wahoo from underneath the boat turns, comes up to the side of the boat, head breaks the water, opens his mouth, shakes his head, and shoots. Now a pew. This will be a good pew moment. Shakes and spits the hook. And the hook hits me right in the chest. Yes. And I watched it slowly. And it wasn't that it, you know, we lost it. But it slowly turned and swam away.
I don't think I have anything for that.
No. Yeah, that's basically what it sounded like in the cockpit and from the bridge. If you were in Spain, that's what you heard. Because, you know, it's a little muffled because of the sound of wind and everything else. But there were a lot of beeping and censoring going on. Yeah, that was over 100-plus-pound wahoo that just spit the hook in my chest. Now, I've had redemption today. We had about a 50-pound wahoo hit the same bait, came up, hammered it, brought it in, and I stuck him. I stuck that Ginsu tooth bugger right in the head with my gaff, and it felt so good. It was so nice. There's a nothing like the feel of steel, flesh. God, that was good. Anyway, that's my story of the day. And folks, today,
sounds like that was a lot of fun.
Oh, dude, there's nothing better than, you know, wrapping the leader in my left hand. So I'm right-handed. So I wrap the leader in my left hand. I pull him in for the last little bit. That head starts to raise up. And, you know, with my right hand, I just do that one clean sweep in the water. Watch that point of that gaff just bury itself in there and lift them in. Oh, it's a great feeling.
Nice.
Well, folks, we'll be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. And Matt, after your commercial, let's hit the Suck My Kiss song.
You're going to have to get that. I have no idea where that one is. But anyway, Jackson Kayak. Can't say enough about their fishing line of kayaks. Very versatile. There's a kayak for everybody. There's a model for every type of use of fishing. Stability at its best. Get to your local dealer and test out and paddle one. Paddle with luxury. Go to JacksonKayak.com. Look out, kids. Next year, the big rig is upon us. Jackson Kayak, the new line. Look out for it at your Jackson dealer next year. Go to JacksonKayak.com for more info.
Awesome. Rock on, dude.
Yeah, did you see that big rig? Hoo-hoo.
No, I haven't yet.
It's at iCast right now.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
It is the big tuna for the single man. Dun, 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 dun.
Nice. Awesome. So for all of you folks out there that have several X's on your clothes, not saying it's a bad thing, but trust me, I'm an XL, double XL guy myself, okay? I love a big boat. Love big things. Gotta love it. All right, we're back with more Low Sodium Show. And yeah, folks, risk assessments, you know, knowing your limitations, please, if you have that feeling like, I don't know if I should go out, don't. Okay, until you can feel you're comfortable with it. Don't want to see anyone get hurt. But the most important thing is if you do go out fishing at any time on your kayak, always, always wear a PFD. I don't care if it's an inflatable. As long as it's Coast Guard approved, type 2 or type 3, those are the ones you need to be safe. All right.
I have an announcement.
Go ahead.
All right. For those of you who listen in more of the Northeast area, but it doesn't matter. I don't care if you live in Florida or California. Come on down to Jersey on Friday the 26th and 27th. It's our sixth annual Flukes tournament. So we're looking forward to that. It's been successful in the past. A lot of big fish caught. We have a first, second, and third prize this year, all cash prizes. And the first prize walks away with a Jackson Kayak Cuda.
Rock on.
Donated by our local dealer here in New Jersey. And also, all of the registered portions of the registrations will be going to the New Jersey chapter of HOW. That's Heroes on the Water, if you don't know it. Also, we will have a Native Slayer for raffle. All proceeds from that also go to HOW. So
that's awesome.
It's looking like a good one this year.
Do you have a website?
Yes. The website is NewJerseyKayakFishing.com. So you can register there, and all the rules, regulations, signing your life away, and everything else is right there for you.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Sorry.
Yeah, we're hoping for a good turnout this year. In the past, it's been 50, 60 anglers. We're looking to break the 100 this year. So I could see it happen in the way that the industry has exploded. So.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And might as well, we're doing announcements. Folks, if you live in the Virginia area, Northeast North Carolina, by the end of August, expect to see Unfair Lures turn fishing into catching with Unfair Lures in many of your local tackle shops. If you don't know, I am the basically a sales rep for Unfair Lures, and I cannot thank Paul Van Rienen and everyone at Unfair for allowing me the opportunity to be a part of their team. But we're going to have all the lures there. We're going to have demos this fall on how to work an Unfair Lure, seminars, giveaways, stuff like that. So definitely check that out. stay tuned to my Facebook page. If you're not my friend, become my friend, because I want to be your friend, and we'll have a great time with it. Definitely check out Unfair Lures, home of the Paul's Dinkum line of baits, from the mullet, the rip and slash, the shrimp, all will catch you fish, and I guarantee that. So more information, go to unfairlures.com and check them out. With that all being said, I hope everyone has a great weekend. Hope you had a great 4th of July. I hope everyone stayed safe. And next week's show, we're going to have something special for you. We're going to talk about mothershipping. We've been doing mothership trips recently with several kayakers off of the charter boat flatline. And I'm going to break down my experiences with it. Things you should need to know. Things you need to know about charter boats that most people take for granted. And don't realize, and kind of are surprised at the first time they get on a charter boat if you've never been on one. You know, do's and don'ts, and other little tips and tricks to make your trip enjoyable so you can catch fish. And that's going to all be on next week's show. A little bit of salt. And I know some Great Lakes guides that are actually doing mothershipping trips, so that's very cool as well. But with that being said, folks, I'd like to thank all my personal sponsors, Tommy Head Jigs. Tommy, can't thank you enough, buddy. Jackson Kayak, YakAngler.com. That is a really big bug.
Big rig. Big rig.
Yeah, the big rig. No, I've got a bug on my door that is. That this thing is a good. Oh, it's a big beetle. It's like 3 inches long, dude. It is gnarly looking.
That's bait, man. That's low sodium bait.
You, that big, you touch that big bug. I'm not going to touch that damn thing. You're crazy, man.
You need the gas.
But yeah, Jackson Kayak, Bull Bay Rods. Speaking of Bull Bay Rods, this brings up a great point. I've been having a lot of questions about the bomb dropper, how it was designed, things like that. I'm going to be coming up this fall, we're going to do a video series on the bomb dropper, the crank and stick, and the worm rod for everyone to break down how to use them correctly, how to, you know, why we did the things we did to those rods to make them, in my opinion, the best freshwater fishing rods in the business, period. So definitely check that out. Coming up here, I'll give an announcement when we start doing them. And, yeah. It should be great stuff coming from Bull Bay. Their fly rod's sweet. I mean, if you haven't checked it out, check out bullbayrods.com. But Unfair Lures and you, the listener, if you guys didn't give me the support that I've got, you know, I love nothing more than, you know, go ahead and look at, you know, how many people have listened to podcasts and live listeners and everything else. And, you know, the things I've seen, you know, and the people that give us our support, we cannot thank you enough for everything you do. And if trust me, I wouldn't be doing this for 3 years now without your support. But with that being said, take a kid fishing. Please, take a kid fishing. Always wear your PFD.
You can't forget to mention Tommy Head Jigs.
Tommy was my first one, man.
Oops.
All right, trust me.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah. But.
My bad.
No, it's okay. I'll start over. Take it fishing. Always be your PFD. It's doing you no good as it's floating away from you in a bad situation. So always wear your PFD. And of course, get your fish on, Mike. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Matt, for being my co-host tonight. And to everyone that listens in, have a great weekend. And catch you tomorrow night with Chip Treehugger Gibson with the original Pad Fishing Radio Show. Good night, everybody.
Boondoggle.